For Sounds of Dissent, I'm Amy Grunder. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission voted on Thursday to extend the operating license at the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts for 20 years, despite ongoing safety and environmental concerns at the 40-year-old plant. As I said a moment ago, the sole dissenting voice in that decision belonged to now outgoing commission chairman Gregory Yasko, who offered his resignation this week. The decision comes amid a host of regional and national challenges to relicensing bids at aging nuclear power plants throughout the country. David Lockbaum is director of the Nuclear Safety Project for the Union of Concerned Scientists. One of the nation's top independent experts on nuclear power, he monitors safety issues at the nation's nuclear power plants, raises concerns with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and responds to current concerns over aging power plants and plant fire safety. Mr. Lockbaum is a nuclear engineer by training and worked in nuclear power plants for 17 years. Tyson Slocum joins us from Public Citizen, a policy and advocacy organization based in Washington, D.C. He directs Public Citizen's energy program dealing with climate change, coal, oil, natural gas, fracking, nuclear energy, and renewable energy and commodity market oversight. Mr. Slocum is an expert on the regulation and deregulation of energy markets, including the impact of mergers and tax regulation and lax regulations. Thank you both for joining us today.
Yeah, great to be here.
Representative, U.S. Representative Edward Markey, a Massachusetts Democrat, criticized the relicensing decision this week at Pilgrim for short-circuiting the process and short-circuiting residents. And the now outgoing chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Gregory Yasko, said that the renewal process for Pilgrim was unprecedented in license renewal proceedings and provides little basis for action. Your response, David Lockbaum.
Well, I can see the point. There, some of the local citizens have intervened in the thing. There's still some, it's an active case before the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's Atomic Safety and Licensing Board. But before those issues were answered, yes or no, the commission voted to ignore the public participation and grant the license renewal. It's kind of like the Soviet ballot system. Yeah, you're welcome to go in and vote, but there's only one name on the ballot, so guess what the answer is.
Tyson Slocum, what do you think? Was it unprecedented?
It's outrageous. When you've got such a chorus of prominent local and state officials responding to the interests of local communities and citizens, saying, listen, we need a lot more review of the environmental and safety issues surrounding the operation of this plant for another 20 years, and for unelected federal officials at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to just ignore the input of local officials, I think shows how broken this process is. We've got to have a system that prioritizes a voice of states and of local communities to give states more say-so in the siting and license extensions of energy facilities located within their state. The fact that the federal government essentially controls this entire process is really depriving local communities, and in this case, folks within the state of Massachusetts, from adequate review.
Those local communities were represented, are represented by a coalition called the Pilgrim Coalition, based in southeastern Massachusetts. We had them on our show actually a couple weeks ago, and we'll get back to them. Gregory Yasko, though, the outgoing commissioner, has been criticized by his fellow commissioners, two Democrats, two Republicans, for what they called an intimidating and bullying management style. And indeed, he's been the subject of a year-long investigation by the agency's inspector general. But he's also a favorite of industry watchdogs because of his emphasis on nuclear safety. Why the controversy around Gregory Yasko? I want to start with David Lockbaum and then you, Tyson.
Well, the chairman had been on the short side of a lot of 4-1 votes over the last year, 2 years. That was frustrating to him. Because he didn't have the votes to put safety in the frame he'd like to, he chose to try to regain some of the control by limiting how much information went to his fellow commissioners and exercise more of the powers that the law gives to the chairman. The other commissioners didn't like that. They liked the old rules where they were basically five equals. So they rebelled and basically led a coup, an attempted coup last October to get rid of him. The White House backed him up, so that coup wasn't it. So they went to the mudslinging campaign in the press and on Capitol Hill to try to further discredit the chairman. It's politics at its worst.
Tyson Slocum, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think David just accurately characterized it, and to call it a coup is absolutely correct. It was a clash of philosophies where for too long commissioners have been rubber stamping what the nuclear power industry has wanted. And you had a chairman, Yasko, that wasn't simply rolling over every time, and who took a look at what happened in Japan with Fukushima and said, look, I think this requires us to reassess the status quo here in the United States, and the other commissioners fought against that. And so I think it's really unfortunate that it's resulted in his resignation. I think the president has nominated a very good replacement, and we'll see, you know, how the confirmation process transpires. But it is a shame that a public official that tries to prioritize public health and safety is seen as being too excessive, and that is wrong. We need to make sure that public health and safety are always prioritized, especially when we're dealing with very large, profitable corporations.
There were reports this week that four high-ranking Republican members of the U.S. House Committee on Energy and Commerce were pushing openly for approval of the Pilgrim license, and they actually accused the agency of an intransigence for its six-year review of the plant. The Cape Cod Times reported Wednesday that the four congressmen received more than $40,000 over the past 5 years from a political action committee established by Entergy. Now, that's the owner of the Pilgrim plant. I wonder if, well, critics charge the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the nation's watchdog over nuclear safety, as being more of a lapdog to that industry than a watchdog. David Lockbaum, do you want to take that?
Well, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, it's kind of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde approach. And sometimes they've been very aggressive looking out after safety. For example, the Fort Calhoun nuclear plant in Nebraska has been shut down for more than a year because of safety problems identified by the NRC that the plant owner is fixing. But on the other side of the coin, there's been times when the NRC has known that plants are operating with very severe safety problems and yet looks the other way there. So it's hard to, it's not so much a lapdog as maybe just a crazy dog, sometimes biting children, sometimes letting postmen go. I'm an engineer, not a psychologist, so I can't figure out what's wrong with their, why they're acting. But the bottom line is they're not doing the American public any favors when they look the other way on safety issues.
Sorry, Tyson Slocum. Until recently, well, let's see, David Lockbaum, since you're an expert on nuclear safety, you're a former nuclear engineer, current nuclear engineer, you're trained as a nuclear engineer, what are the public safety concerns specifically at Pilgrim for those that missed our program last week? And just for listeners, we did a program on Pilgrim 2 weeks ago with Anna Baker and Pine Dubois of the Pilgrim Coalition, and also Paul Gunter, director of the Reactor Oversight Project at Beyond Nuclear. I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Well, our biggest concern at Pilgrim is the fact that it's a similar reactor to that at Fukushima. The difference is that there's much more spent fuel stored in the spent fuel pool at Pilgrim than existed at Fukushima. That pool is up in the attic of the plant. It's not a safety-related system. If there's any fuel damage, there's virtually no barriers between that radioactive material and the public. So the risk is about as high as we could possibly make it. So that we need to take steps to lower that hazard. The steps have been in place for two decades. That's moving that fuel into dry casks on site until a repository comes open. And it's shame on us if we don't take that safety step before disaster occurs.
How would a disaster like that come about? Paul Gunter said it could be something as simple as a fire breaking out in the plant.
That's true. The system that cools the water in the spent fuel pool is a non-safety-related system. There's no backups to it. It's one thing. So if that one thing is taken out by a fire or an earthquake or an act of malice, then there's no backups to it other than luck. So it's a very vulnerable system. There's about six times as much fuel in the fuel pool as in the reactor core, and there's essentially no safety systems and no concrete containments around it. So it's a very precarious situation. And if we allow that pending disaster to harm people, it won't be an accident. It'll be basically criminal negligence.
The Pilgrim relicensing comes amid a host of other regional challenges to relicensing older nuclear plants like Pilgrim, including Vermont Yankee, which is also owned by Entergy, and the Indian Point nuclear power plant in New York, which I think also is. Tyson Slocum, your organization petitioned the Nuclear Regulatory Commission a year ago last April to suspend all reactor licensing decisions pending an investigation of lessons learned from the Fukushima Daiichi disaster. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, we thought it was a no-brainer from a policy perspective that if a country like Japan that has a reputation of being a very robust regulator of its nuclear power industry, a country that is extremely well-prepared for earthquakes and tsunamis, could have overlooked so many key issues that resulted in that horrific disaster. And so we thought that the lessons to be learned was that we needed to reevaluate our safety procedures. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission obviously rejected that and said that the status quo in the U.S. is just fine. And in fact, we saw very quick comments in the days after the tsunami from the president on down saying, the lessons to be learned are that the United States, that what's happening in Japan cannot happen in the United States. And that's just not accurate. Now, granted, the Fukushima issue was an incredible confluence of events, but there are vulnerabilities in the United States, and I don't think that the regulations adequately reflect those vulnerabilities.
Were there any changes at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission after Fukushima?
There have been a few. I think Dave could probably extrapolate on those issues better than I could.
Well, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission didn't create a group within its organization to just look at the Fukushima lessons learned. And in March of this year, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission issued orders to plant owners to take some steps to implement some of the lessons learned from Fukushima. They have a longer list of things that they're still working on. Our concern is that after 9/11, it took more than a decade for the nuclear industry to implement the security upgrades that 9/11 identified. We're a little concerned that it's going to take a decade or longer for the industry to implement the Fukushima lessons learned. And safety or security IOUs protect no one.
The state of Vermont is appealing the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's grant of a license last year to Entergy for Vermont Yankee in federal court for failing to obtain a water quality certificate beforehand as required by the Clean Water Act. Can either of you tell us about that?
I haven't followed the details of that issue, but I think that it is telling that in numerous examples, we've got state officials raising substantive concerns about the quality of the environmental and safety review, and federal officials routinely dismissing or ignoring those concerns. And this isn't, you know, public interest groups like Public Citizen or interest groups of scientists like Union of Concerned Scientists. These are elected officials. These are public officials, state attorney generals, governors, lawmakers, who are just being dismissed by federal officials. And I think that really raises the question that Public Citizen strongly believes that states need to have a far greater role in the approval process for the granting of a new operating license or the extension of an existing nuclear license. I think that, that state officials need to be able to weigh in on this because clearly the law doesn't allow them.
For listeners, if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to WZBC in Newton, 90.3 FM. We're speaking with Tyson Slocum, director of the Energy Program at Public Citizen, and with David Lochbaum, director of the Nuclear Safety Project for the Union of Concerned Scientists. Scientists and engineers from some 37 countries gathered May 14th, fairly recently, at a Salt Lake City conference to discuss how to extend the life of nuclear power plants worldwide. Now, we've got a Pilgrim plant and many of these other plants that are up for relicensing are all 40 years old. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has gone on record saying that it is investigating extending the licensing of these older plants to past 60 years. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
What are the consequences?
Well, the problem was when they were originally designed, they were for a 40-year lifetime. So a lot of the concrete and the piping and the other things were designed with that time frame in mind. That doesn't mean at 40 years in one day that everything falls apart, but that also means that at 80 years, there's no guarantees that it could last till then. The key is monitoring the safety margins or the condition of piping and concrete walls and so on, so as to ensure that safety margins are there today, tomorrow, and into the future. The problem the industry is facing is that they keep getting surprised by things that break, wear out and break, so that their ability to monitor safety margins is not, there's not a good track record. The Crystal River plant in Florida has been shut down for more than 2 years because concrete problems that they haven't been able to fix. Almost every week, the San Onofre reactors in California are shut down because of tube failures that nobody anticipated. There's hardly a week that goes by that there's not some surprise somewhere that something, some safety piece of equipment broke, despite all these alleged efforts to monitor the condition and repair it before it breaks. So it just seems like we're tempting fate to sail off into the future so as blind as we are.
Tyson Slocum, do you want to say something? I think this is our last question. Would you like to say something about the attitude and policy of the Obama administration with regard to nuclear power, both Obama as a candidate, I guess, and the current policies of his administration?
Well, I mean, Barack Obama has always been very pro-nuclear. I think it reflects the influence of a very powerful electric utility based in Chicago, Illinois, called Exelon, that is the largest owner and operator of nuclear power plants across the country. So from the very beginning, Barack Obama has always been very pro-nuclear. I think, you know, his willingness to appoint someone like Yasko chairman and to have his back when the other four commissioners revolted showed that Obama at least is interested in supporting those regulators that are going to highlight prioritizing public health and safety. But at the end of the day, the administration is committed to trying to build new nuclear power plants and trying to extend the life. And I think from Public Citizen's perspective is that we've got a lot of competing energy sources, renewables, investments in energy efficiency that we haven't even adequately supported or explored in this country. And I think that given the Achilles heels of nuclear energy and the high-level waste they produce, I think that we've got to, instead of spending a lot more taxpayer dollars on trying to build new reactors and extending the life of existing ones, we ought to be really pushing for the renewable revolution that the United States needs to engage in.
David Lochbaum.
Well, I think the president has shown an interest. In February of last year, shortly before the Fukushima accident, he sent a memo out to all the heads of all executive agencies, including the NRC, saying safety is determined by compliance with the regulations. no more, no less. If you do more than that, you're cheating the licensees. If you do less than that, you're cheating the public. That's what we'd ask for, the NRC to enforce the regulations, not turn a blind eye as it's doing so often, and not require more than that. But right now, I don't think the NRC could be convicted of being an effective regulator, even if so charged.
We'll have to end there. It's been a great pleasure to have both of you join us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, my pleasure.
We've been speaking with Tyson Slocum, director of the Energy Program at Public Citizen, and with David Lockbaum, director of the Nuclear Safety Project for the Union of Concerned Scientists. They joined us to talk about public challenges and safety concerns in relicensing the nation's aging nuclear power plants. These come amid the relicensing of the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant this week, and also this week, the resignation of Nuclear Regulatory Commission Chairman Gregory Yasko. For Sounds of Dissent, I'm Amy Grunder.